Welcome to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. Today we've got an amazing message of hope and healing just for you. God's word never returns to him void, so let this message sink deep into your heart so that you can walk out your complete healing journey today.
Hey guys, good morning and welcome to another edition of Healing Journeys Today.
Amen.
I'm Herman.
And I'm Raquel.
We can talk louder than that, though.
Okay, we're trying to talk low, you guys, just because we're in a hotel. And I just told Herman, I said, be mindful that you're not talking loud.
I know, but we can talk like we were just talking to one another.
Okay, so we'll just
anyway,
talk like this.
Yeah, we'll talk normal.
Okay, so we're not, yeah.
All right, but so that's what's going on. We're going to get into what we came to get into.
Amen.
And that is who, well... This is identity in Christ,
but I want to
ask you, whose uniform do you have on this morning?
What
uniform are you wearing this morning?
Right.
Do you have on the uniform of sickness? Do you have on the uniform of doubt?
Right.
And disbelief? Or do you have on the uniform of Jesus Christ?
Because remember, the uniform that you have on is a representation of your identity.
Absolutely.
So whatever you are wearing, whatever you are displaying, whatever you have decided to put on is your identity. So if you've put on Christ this morning, then you're identifying with Christ. And you can just know you can be in Christ and not have him on.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be saved and you can be in Christ Jesus, but you can also not put on Christ and not assume everything that he has provided for you, not assume that as part of who
right.
you are. So you can be in Christ and not have put him on. So we want to make sure that you have put on Christ Jesus, that you have
Absolutely.
Put on righteousness. We talked about Joseph, and we talked about the uniform, you know, the robe and the royal, you know, when Pharaoh gave him authority, and he gave him the ring and the scepter, and he gave him
his
the
chariot.
Robes and the chariot. He gave him all of these things when he said, hey, you know, you are going to be, aside from the throne, you are the position of authority here in the land. And
yes.
how we said that when he came riding down the chariot, when Joseph came riding down, nobody knew the difference because he was adorned as Pharaoh. He had put on authority.
Yeah.
So no one knew the difference between Pharaoh or Joseph coming down, you know, coming, you know, everyone was bowing down to Joseph just as they would bow down to Pharaoh, because Joseph had decided to put on the robes of authority,
right,
and put on the identification, the identity of being one in authority.
Correct. And then we also talked about, just to follow what you're saying, Joseph wouldn't have been able to identify with the authority of Pharaoh.
Right.
If he was not willing to put on the uniform.
Right.
And not only would he not act as the authority, he wouldn't have received the respect of the people.
Right.
With the refusal of doing that.
Right.
And guys, what I'm telling you is that if you don't want to put on the robes of righteousness, if you don't want to put on Jesus, then guess what? You're not going to perform as Jesus.
Nope.
You're not going to be respected as Jesus.
Right.
And you're not
right.
going to fulfill your purpose.
Right.
Because your purpose cannot be fulfilled with any other person's uniform on.
Right.
So take off the woman with the issue of blood's
Amen.
Uniform.
Yep.
Take off Peter's uniform. Stop trying to be like Paul.
Right.
Or put on Jesus.
Amen.
He's the one you were baptized with,
raised
into
with.
His death.
Buried
you were the one
with.
That was raised with.
Amen.
He was the one that got whipped for you. He was the one that bled
He's
for you.
He's the one you're seated with right now in heavenly
yes.
places.
Yeah.
He's the one that you're living your life through. He's the one whose faith you're operating in. You
That's
live
right.
by the faith of the Son of God, according to Galatians. It's all Christ Jesus. We're not living by Paul's faith. We're not living by, you know, the love of David. We're not living by, you know, any the anything of anybody. We are living by the faith of the Son of God,
Right.
We're living our life through him, according to 1 John 4.
Mm-hmm.
We are living, you know, we are more than conquerors through him. Everything that has been made possible and available for us in this life is through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So again, take off the identification and the identity of this person and that person.
Yeah.
And even people that we may respect in the Bible as having done amazing things. We respect that Paul and John, you know, have done amazing things in Scripture. Nevertheless, we don't have their spirit living on the inside of us. We have not been made one with them. We've been made one with the person of Christ Jesus.
Doesn't mean we don't have anything to learn.
Right.
We can always learn from people, but I'm talking about ID. I'm talking about identification.
Amen.
And who you've been made one with.
Amen.
Uno with. And so this is going to determine the type of life you live, the type of effectiveness that you have for the kingdom's sake.
Amen.
And see, I want to get us beyond just believing God for our healing, okay? Because we are one with the healer. So it goes beyond just us, looking to receive something. It's like, no, mm-hmm. I am, the healer is one with me.
Amen.
And so you have been empowered to actually heal.
Amen.
And so if you've been empowered to heal, that means you have been empowered to be healed already.
So what I wanted to get into today, guys, and talking again and continuing with identification, and you know, I had touched on this before, but about how our first steps in identifying with Christ Jesus is always going to be identifying, we have to recognize that we've been made righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't expect, like Herman just said, to do anything of what Jesus did if at first base. It's almost like you can't get to home plate until you cross second. If you go to second base and you skip first base, second base didn't even count. Okay? You can't come all the way home and score if you haven't hit first base. First base, okay, as a believer, the very first thing you have to realize is that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Mm-hmm.
You have to recognize that your spirit man, that in the spirit, the real you, and I'm talking about the real you when I talk about all things becoming new. I'm not talking about your hair. I'm not talking about certain physical things, and we have another angle that we want to share with you concerning that. But if you're a black person, you're going to be black. If you're a white person, you're going to be, if you have blue eyes, if you're heavy set, you know, those type of things do not change, okay? You are who God has made you, and that's the body that you reside in this physical earth realm. The body that you were born into is the body you still have when you become new, okay, in Christ Jesus. We're talking about the spirit man, but the spirit man has implications in the natural,
mm-hmm.
okay? It doesn't have the implications of changing me from a black woman to a white man. Okay, not those kind of implications. Again, the body that I'm in, the vehicle that I'm in, the earth suit that God created me with is the same earth suit that I still have. But the implications in the spirit realm of all things having been made new is going to affect some things in the natural realm.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to get to is, first of all, I want to talk about, again, and I mentioned this before, but Romans 5:12. Turn with me to Romans 5:12. And this is just going to set us up to understand what we're going to get to in just a little bit. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So one man, through one man, sin comes in and enters the world. And death is only possible because of that sin. Because of us being born into sin and sin entering into the world. And therefore, when we came into this world, sin was already in the world. Death came by sin. So that means no sin, no death.
Right.
If there's no sin, there's no death, because death came by sin. That was death's invitation. That was death's way into the world. So death passed upon all men because all had sinned, because sin was into the world and we were born into sin. So that's Romans 5:12. Now, I really want us to go to Romans. We're going to spend most of the time in Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. And I want to actually start at the beginning and work my way down. And babe, you can interject. What shall we say then, starting at verse 1, Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So again, what I'm wanting to do here is build the correlation between sin and sickness and disease. Okay? Death came by sin. Sickness is just a slow form of death. It's baby death. It's death in its baby form that hasn't grown into full-blown death yet. Sickness is the baby stages. Yeah, the prelude to death, whatever, however you want to look at it, but they're one and the same. Sickness and death are one and the same. And I want us to read this again, recognizing that without, they're two sides of the same coin. Without sin, there's no sickness and disease. Okay? Without sin, there's no sickness and disease. So again, as we read this, where we see sin, I want us to look at sin and sickness and disease as two sides of the same coin, because the wages of sin is death, or the wages of sin is sickness and disease. So they're two sides of the same coin. You don't have one without the other. So as we read this in Romans 6, I want us to recognize that where sin is mentioned, we can substitute sickness in there as well. Mm-hmm. Because again, sickness and disease came as a result of sin, okay? So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we that are dead to sickness, okay? We're dead to sickness and disease. Live any longer therein. And actually, I think before I even build this, we should probably go to where it says in Isaiah. Do you have that verse?
Isaiah 53:4.
Ahead and before we get there, sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
Right, but specifically, he's borne our griefs and he's carried our sorrows. So our griefs, you guys, our griefs out are sickness and disease. So what he did with our sins, he did with our sickness and disease. Those are just old-fashioned terms, griefs and sorrows.
Grief is translated in Strong's as coli. That's the word for a coli. But it's translated as our anxiety, our calamity, our disease, our sickness.
Our malady.
Yeah.
Okay. So he took our sickness and disease. And he carried our sorrows. Mm-hmm. And what does it say for our sorrows?
Sorrows.
Our anguish, our affliction, our pain, our grief, our sorrows. Okay. And then later on, there's another verse. That says, he was wounded for our transgressions. The point is that what he did with our sickness and disease, he did with our sins. What he did with our sins, he did for our sickness and disease. They were two separate punishments. Stripes were the punishment for our physical healing. Mm-hmm. And his blood, his body being nailed to the cross and his blood being shed for us was the payment for our righteousness. Right. So there were two different payments, but you could say it was at the same trial.
Yeah.
You know, it was one big trial, exactly. But there were two different payments. So coming back over to Romans 6, 3, it says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Okay. So you were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, in verse 4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when we refer to identity, when we think of identity,
right,
we have to recognize that we have been buried with Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have been baptized into his death. And that just as he's been raised up from the dead, we have been raised up from the dead also, okay, into newness of life. So if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Right.
So we have to recognize that that we have to identify with the fact that Jesus died unto the death. He died unto sickness, he died unto disease, and he died unto sin. So because he died unto sin, I should say not the death, because he died unto sin, sickness and disease, which comes from sin, sickness, disease, and death has no more authority over him. Okay? But because we have died with him, sickness and disease has no more authority over us. And we have made a separation. Herman and I were talking about this a second ago, before this Bible study, that we have made a distinction. We say we've been raised with him. We say we've been buried with him, but we don't actually understand what that means. And what I liken this to is if you had been diagnosed, it's like Jesus was diagnosed with cancer, okay? And it's like he died as a result of cancer. But he was raised up over cancer. After having died, he was raised up, okay? So it's like he defeated it, mm-hmm. okay? So we, likewise, have already defeated whatever has tried to come against you. We've already defeated that thing because we died with Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus had that thing on him. We were in him. We died with him mm-hmm. and came back from the dead.
Right.
So we have already defeated whatever is trying to come against you. You have already defeated that thing. And when it comes to identifying with Christ Jesus, you have to recognize that you are in him. So everything that he has defeated, you've already defeated.
Yeah, and also what you have to understand, and I've said this before, but may have some new people who are hearing this for the first time, is that we identify with, or we have a hard time identifying with his death. Like, what does that really mean?
Right.
You know, like, what, like, it's hard for people to really identify with that. But this is your testimony.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm really saying, is that, you know, we're on here, you know, maybe you found Healing Journeys today because you were dealing with a particular situation, and you're like, hey, these guys overcame, and I want to get inspiration, and we get it. We were all there at one point. We were all looking at Healing Journeys also,
right.
You know, and just encouraging us and building us up. And we're like, man, I just can't wait till we have our testimony,
right.
You know, our testimony.
Right.
We want to have that testimony too, but we don't right now because I still have this thing on my body, or you know, I'm still dealing with this thing, and when I don't have this thing anymore, then I'll have the testimony.
Right.
Well, you have a testimony, and the testimony actually goes way beyond our testimony.
Right.
Mike's testimony.
Right.
Nicole's testimony. It goes way beyond somebody being healed of cancer, or healed of this, or healed of that. It goes way beyond that. Your testimony right now is in Christ Jesus. Your testimony is, hey,
having died with him.
I have been raised from the dead with him. I have been seated in heaven with him.
Amen.
The testimony doesn't get any greater than that.
Right.
It actually, for us even,
yeah.
It's not about hearts being made new and, you know, different diseases being overcome or cancers falling off of us. That is a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God for it. But But that's not the greatest testimony, even for us who have received. The greatest testimony is that we've been raised from the dead.
Already.
Already with Christ
Jesus. But you know what? When we think of baptism, we just think it's something that we do. But we are actually saying, we're identifying with the fact that sickness and disease has no more authority over us. That sin no more has authority over us. That we are dead to sin and have been raised in righteousness. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying, guys.
Yes.
When we identify with that, we are dead to sin and we've been raised in righteousness. And as I started this out saying that sin and sickness and disease are two sides of the same coin. That you don't have sickness and disease without sin. Mm-hmm. So if we're dead to sin and have been raised in righteousness, we are dead to sickness and have been raised to health. That's what 1 Peter 2:24 is actually saying. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body, mm-hmm. that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. By his stripes you were healed.
Yeah.
Okay? You have to be dead to sin to live unto righteousness. And that's what this is talking about. Know ye not in verse 3 that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Do you not realize that his death, and when it says his death, he took on the sin of the world when he was dying and dead, he took on the sin of the world. So his death isn't just like any regular person dying. This was dying to all sin and all subsequent disease that came as a result of sin.
Right.
So do you not understand, you guys, that you were baptized into his death? Okay? And therefore, if you are buried with him into death, it says in verse 4, just like Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life, because you were raised up also. You were raised up also. So, and then verse 5, for if having been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So again, these three verses all said the same exact thing. And the Bible says out of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, you have three witnesses right here in three back-to-back verses. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. Then it says, knowing this in verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Again, that the body of sickness might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. You have a choice to serve sin and to serve sickness and disease. You have a choice. It doesn't mean that you willfully have invited sickness and disease to come upon you, but you actually have a choice if you're going to serve whom you will serve. You have a choice to serve sin, just like you can choose not to sin. You can choose not to be sick. Just like you can choose not to sin, you can choose not to be sick. True, even though sickness came as a result of sin, when you deal with the sin root, you deal with the fruit that it brought along with it. So you have the choice. You are not a slave to sin, just like you're not a slave to sickness.
Yeah.
And then it says in verse 7, for he that is dead has been freed from sin. But again, he that has died to sin,
right.
He that has died to sickness and disease, you're free from sickness and disease as well.
Yeah.
Because you've been raised into Christ Jesus, into newness of life, into righteousness.
Yeah. You know, it's like we've been watching this one television show called, what's the name of it?
It's like The Innocence Project. Yeah, I think it's The Innocence Files or something on Netflix.
But it's about people who've been incarcerated, but they were innocent, and they served 20, 30 years, and then their cases are finally overturned, and they get out. Can you imagine, you know, spending 20 to 30 years of your life in prison for something you know you didn't do, mm-hmm. that you're completely innocent of, and then you finally get exonerated. The judge finally says you're a free man.
Right.
And you just stay in your cell and say, I'm not going anywhere.
Right. Right.
That's the way it is with sickness, man. It's like a prison.
Right.
But you've been redeemed.
Right.
You've been your case has been overturned.
Right.
If you will. Well, somebody else paid the price.
Right.
For your sin. So it's not like you're innocent, but you but somebody paid it.
Right.
The debt's been paid, but you're like, nah, I'm not gonna. He did. I know he paid it. That's what it says. But I think it still needs a little bit more payment. So I'm just gonna suffer with this thing. And no, you gotta get up out of that prison. You gotta get that prison uniform off. You know, get the shoes off, and you gotta put on Jesus.
And you know, with that's using that same example. One thing that stood out to me with these guys, so again, these are innocent men who, due to just some loopholes in the system, they were found guilty of a crime and spent just an insane amount, I mean, decades in prison. And the interesting thing about it that I found, I was telling Herman, was that when they would come time, is it the parole board?
Mm-hmm.
What is it, the parole board? So they would be up for parole. Okay, so say 5 years had passed and they're up for parole. So they come before the board, and interestingly enough, these innocent men, you got to keep in mind that they're innocent. So they come before the parole board, and the parole board says, look, you're in here for a life sentence, or you're in here for 40 years, or you're in here for whatever, or you're like, this one dude was on the death, you know, there was no way of him getting out, but he was on death row. But anyway, you're in here for an indefinite period of time. If you would just admit, are you ready to admit to your crimes that you've committed? And basically, we'll be lenient on you and we'll consider letting you out. You know, you're in here for 40 years right now, but if are you willing to accept, is what they would ask the convict at this point. Are you willing to accept your crime? Or how do they say it? If you're willing to accept
to
it,
admit that
you've done this. Yeah. Admit your guilt, and we will consider
releasing you
or dropping or taking a plea or however they, you know, whatever. And none of these guys, though the biggest thing they wanted to do was be free. You know, when you spent 20 years and you're wrongly incarcerated, the biggest thing you want, the hugest thing you want to do is get out. But they were unwilling to say, to admit guilt and to say that they were guilty. Because it's like, if I'm righteous, why would I ever accept the consequences of unrighteousness?
Mm-hmm.
The consequences of unrighteousness are, okay, for one, I'm admitting that I'm guilty. Secondly, you know, maybe you drop the charges or maybe lower the charges,
right,
or maybe I don't have to be here in here as long. But nevertheless, I'll have the stigma and all the consequences of being guilty, but I know I'm innocent. Why would I for a second accept the consequences of unrighteousness?
Mm-hmm.
Why, having been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, would you ever accept the consequences of unrighteousness, sickness and disease? Why would you ever accept it? It doesn't mean that sickness and disease wouldn't try to come upon you, just like those incarcerated men. The consequences of unrighteousness came against them and found them guilty and tried to judge them and find them guilty. But they constantly said, no, we are righteous.
Mm-hmm.
I did not do this. And even if you drop all charges and you let me go out right now, or you know, reduce the charges on me or whatever, I am righteous,
right,
and I am not taking your plea.
Right.
Only guilty people take a plea.
Right.
Guilty people, when I know I've done something and I know I've got 40 years and they're willing to give me 20 if I just say that, you know, whatever,
right,
then maybe I'll consider it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I kind of am, I already know I'm guilty, so it's better than me getting 40 years. But if I'm innocent,
yeah,
I ain't taking no plea.
Right.
I'm not taking any kind of plea. I'm not owning up to any of this. I am righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Don't take the plea bargain.
Yeah. What do you, and it's like, you know, I'm not going to confess to being guilty of something that I never committed, that I'm innocent of. I'm not going to say it. See, that's what it is. They wanted them to say it. They wanted to get that out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And you know what? Because I hear somebody asking, well, how do you learn to be well? you first, you got to learn how to just get it out of your mouth. You got to say it. For faith to get started, you got to be able to confess that thing. Philemon 1:6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual, may become activated by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. If it's not in Christ Jesus, then it's not something that we ought to be confessing. But we have to acknowledge what's in Christ Jesus. Is sickness in Christ Jesus? No. Then we are, is healing in Christ Jesus? Yes. Then we ought to be acknowledging that we are the healed in Christ Jesus. We are the redeemed in Christ Jesus. We are delivered. Amen. By his stripes. We are healed. We have to acknowledge these things.
Right.
Now, it may sound crazy to some of your friends and family who don't know faith and who don't know God, who don't, you know, have a reverence for what God has said in his word. But guess what? That's exactly what they did to Jesus. Yes. Jesus said, I'm one with the Father.
Right.
That there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me. Those Amen. Were some bold statements that people were like scratching their head like, who are you?
Amen.
And people will say the same thing about you. I am the healed of the Lord. He sent his word and healed me. By his stripes I am healed.
Amen.
What are you talking about? Hey, who do you think you are? What the word says I am. But you got to get it out your mouth.
Yes.
Because it gets into your heart.
Right.
And then you shut off everybody. I'm telling you guys, some of you guys need to cut off some people. And that's for somebody. Because there is somebody in your life who is a constant thorn, who is continues to try to sow doubt and unbelief into your heart. And I'm telling mm-hmm. you got to get yourself into a place where it's just you and the word.
Yeah.
It's just you and the word.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need those extra voices to combat, you know? And so, go ahead, but you got to...
And I'm seeing on here... a person is saying that it's a paradigm shift, and you know it, and in fact is a paradigm shift, because what it is that you, again, it's not splitting up the two. It's not splitting up seeing Jesus and salvation. You think that salvation doesn't include healing, but salvation includes healing. So if you are free from sin, you are free again from the consequences of sin.
Right.
Because you can't have a consequence of something without the root of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if the root of the thing is dealt with, you don't have the consequence of the thing.
Yeah.
And I know I keep saying the same thing, but I want to drill that in, because we've made a separation between sickness and disease and sin.
Mm-hmm.
We think that we can control sin, but we can't control sickness and disease, okay? And I'm letting you know that there are two sides of the same coin. Again, the consequence of something, it's like you can't have hot without fire. You know what I'm saying? It's like fire comes from heat, or there has to be a heat source for you to have something that is hot, okay? So the hot issue is dealt with when the heat source issue is dealt with, okay?
Right.
So when I come back over to Romans 6, I see that in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You have died to sickness and disease. You are free from sickness and disease because you are freed from sin.
A dead man can't get sick.
A dead man can't get sick. And because you are dead to sin, you are dead to sickness and disease. Now in verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Okay? We died with him, so we live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death no more has dominion over him. Death has no more dominion over him because he died and raised.
Right.
It's one thing to knock somebody out, you know, it's almost like a boxing ring or whatever. You know, you knock the guy down and it's like you think he's out for the count, and then, you know, the guy comes over and it's counting him down, you know, when they count it out, one, two, three, and he stands back up. It's kind of like you know, you thought you had him down, but then he stands back up. So he's the he's victorious over your deadliest punch. Death was the devil's deadliest punch. Mm-hmm. Death was all he had.
Yeah.
That was the maximum thing that he could do to Jesus, was kill him. And even then, the Lord said, I lay my life down. You don't take it from me. Right. You didn't kill me. I'm voluntarily going along with the plot.
You hit me and I just fell on the ground.
Well, it's just like, I'm going along with the plot because right. this is my Father's plan.
Yeah.
But you have no authority over right. me. So Jesus went along with it. You know, it's almost like he played dead and then he got back up again. You know, death was all Satan had. So when Jesus was victorious over death, again, he was victorious over, and he was victorious over sin because having taken on all sin, he overcame it and rose again.
Yeah.
So because he was victorious over that, he's victorious over sickness. He's victorious over every disease.
Right.
And so it says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, so after you're raised from the dead, death no more has dominion over you.
Right.
I just showed death up because I raised up.
Right. I took your best shot.
You took your best shot and I still overcame.
Yeah.
So death has no more dominion. So sickness and disease, which is a consequence, which is a part of death, has no dominion over you.
Right.
It has no dominion. It can be a temptation. I'm not saying it can't be a temptation. I'm not saying that it can't be a annoying, you know, a frustration, a temptation, you know, that it doesn't try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, but it actually has no authority. It actually has no dominion over you. And in verse 11, it says that we have to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's the root. We have to, so that means you have to reckon yourself also dead to sickness and disease.
Yeah.
You have to reckon, you have to consider, that word reckon is just an old fashioned term for, you have to account yourself, you have to consider yourself, you have to you have to consider yourself to be dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you have to consider these things. Again, just as you wouldn't sin having been saved, you wouldn't commit a sin and think that you've lost your salvation.
Right. Yeah.
You can't see a symptom try to come up and think that you aren't healed. You have to consider yourself dead to sin, and you have to consider yourself dead to sickness and disease. Yeah, I see that thing is trying. I see that lab report was a bad report. That report from the doctor wasn't good. But I consider myself dead to sickness and disease. I am not a slave to sickness and disease. Sickness right. and disease has no dominion over me.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Well, guys, this is some powerful stuff. And again, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to identify with Jesus Christ? Or am I going to always identify with somebody who's looking to receive something from God?
Amen.
Am I going to identify with the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that's living and dwelling and is giving life to my mortal flesh? Am I going to identify with that? Is that who I'm going to wrap my mind and heart around? What's already on the inside of me? What's already been done for me? Am I always going to be in that posture of, Lord, here I am, you know, reign healing upon me? And I'm not trying to make light of anything. I get it. People are in pain. But you're going to have to decide that I am the healed.
Amen.
Because that's what the Word of God says I am.
Amen.
See, you are the righteous. You are willing to say that Jesus took my sin and carried it for me. And I am the righteous. But what you're saying is that you're healed.
Right.
In that same
right.
confession that you are the righteousness of God in Christ
yes.
Jesus, you're saying that you're healed. You can't separate them.
No.
You can't say, I want the wet, but I don't want the water.
And if you've
you
been,
have to have them both.
And if you've been buried with Jesus, you can't separate from the fact that you've been raised in righteousness.
Yeah, you didn't stay down there.
Yeah, you came up with Jesus. So as healed as he is, having taken on the sin of the world and died and come back from it, you've already died and come back from it. So again, if you've been given a diagnosis that is not in line with the Word of God, you died and come back from that diagnosis already. You've already died.
Amen.
And you've already come back with that. So now that the doctor's trying to tell you whatever, you have to recognize, wait a minute, this has already been dealt with. I have already come back in Christ from stage 5 kidney failure, from stage 4 cancer, from the worst case of whatever, from whatever the doctors have said, from whatever, from tinnitus, from autoimmune diseases, from whatever. I have already died to this thing because I was in Christ when he died. But if I don't see myself in Christ, and again, that's why we call this Christ identification.
Right.
If you didn't see yourself in Christ, you'll look at it like, well, great, he died, but what does that mean for me? Yeah. You were in him when he died.
Yeah.
You were in him when he raised. So you have already come up from the worst diagnosis ever, which is death. Death is the worst diagnosis ever. Mm-hmm. And you have already gone down and come up from death.
Yeah, and remember, the greatest healing journey was Jesus Christ getting on that cross.
Amen.
And not just dying a natural death, but dying spiritually and going to hell.
Amen.
He didn't just go into the ground. He went to hell for you and I.
Amen.
His journey was the greatest of healing journeys.
Amen.
That journey is your journey.
Amen.
That's the journey that you can declare.
Amen.
That's the journey when it says in Revelations that you overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony.
Yes.
His testimony?
Yes.
Your testimony is his testimony that I was buried.
Yep.
I went to hell and I was raised up and defeated it all, defeated sickness and sin.
Amen.
And remember, defeating sin is defeating sickness.
Yes.
And now I'm seated
with
the Father. Guess what? You can't sit next to the Father with sickness.
Amen.
Sickness would dissolve
any
in his
more
presence.
Than you could sit next to him in sin.
Yeah.
No more than you could sit. You know for a fact that no one is sitting next to on the right hand of the throne of God in sin.
Yeah.
And no one is sitting next to the Father, his right hand, in sickness and disease.
Yeah.
Will you be tempted to be sick? Yeah. You'll be tempted to be sick, just like you'll be tempted to sin.
Yeah.
But just as you would resist sin,
resist
sickness.
Yeah.
Because sin has no more dominion over you, and sickness and disease has no more dominion over you. It doesn't have dominion. You can yield to it. And one verse I just want to say, I know we're going to end sooner than later, sooner, on the sooner side. But one verse I want to mention is in in Romans 6. And it says in verse 16, it says, Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, his servants ye are, to him you obey, whether of sin unto death, okay, or of obedience unto righteousness. So again, you can yield yourself to obey sickness and disease.
Yeah.
You can yield yourself to obey sin and choose not to, or choose to sin.
Right.
And you can yield yourself to obey sickness and disease. Again, the temptation will come for both. The temptation will come for you to sin, and the temptation will come for you to be sick. But you can decide, I'm not going to be a servant. I'm not going to obey you and therefore become your servant, sickness and disease. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Just no more than I would sin. Andrew Womack always says, I would no more go out and commit adultery, I would no more be sick than I would commit adultery. And a person thinks, well, gosh, you can decide not to commit adultery, but you can't really make a choice about being sick. Yes, you can, because he's not a slave to either one. Because sin has been dealt with, he is not bound to sickness and disease.
Right.
So because sin has been dealt with, you are not bound to sickness and disease. So you don't have to be a slave to sickness and a slave to disease. You don't have to obey sickness and disease when it comes to tempt you to be its servant. You don't have to be its servant.
And I'll just, we'll end with this because you wanted me to say this. But, you know, for many years now, I've just talked about maintaining our righteousness. And I've always said, well, when you put on righteousness, it's kind of like if you put on your nice set of clothes and you go to church or you go to a nice function, but you got on a nice suit or a nice dress. And then afterwards, somebody comes along and says, hey, man, I'm re-landscaping my backyard. Can you come over and help me pull these trees out and plant some? Well, no, I can't do that. Well, why not? Because I got on my suit, man. I can't go in the backyard and start digging holes with you. I have on my suit. Now, if I go change and put on my old clothes, then yeah,
right,
I'm willing and available. And as long as you see yourself with those sins, you know, you're willing to go out there and dig those ditches. You're willing to do the stuff you used to do if you identify with the stuff you used to do.
Right.
But as long as you say, no, I'm not doing that because I have on righteousness and I'm not willing to get my righteousness dirty by going out there and do it. Guess what? I'm not willing to get sick.
Right.
I'm not willing to do that. Why? Right. Because I have on righteousness.
Amen.
There's too much value in my righteousness to go out and participate with sin or to participate with sickness.
Yeah.
So
I'm unwilling to accept. I'm unwilling to, again, accept the consequences of unrighteousness because I'm righteous.
Right.
Amen.
Well, we're going to end with communion. I got my little disc here. But this is not just a little wafer. This is just
life. This is life.
Wholeness. This is remembering the broken body of Jesus. Remembering that. Guess what? You don't have to stay on that bed.
Amen.
You don't have to stay there. You don't have to wear the garments of sickness.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a slave to sickness.
Amen.
Because his body was broken for us.
Amen.
Broken for you.
Amen.
Just think about that. Jesus got whipped and beat so that you wouldn't have to be taking that whipping from sickness and disease.
Yes.
So just as we receive this right now, just declare that I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, my body is healed because Jesus paid the price for me.
And I am bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh.
That's right. And so we remember you, Jesus. We remember what you did.
Thank you, Jesus.
That your body was broken for us.
In our place.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And thank God, too, when you take communion, thank God that the life that he said is in this act, this sacred act, is being applied to your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank you. Whatever has been wrong is made right as we partake of what he said was life to our flesh.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. So amen.
Thank
and then
you,
he said he took the cup of the New Testament. This is a new covenant in the blood of Jesus. This is not the blood of a bull or a goat that's just kind of washed them away for a little while and got to remember them and come back to it and do it again. This is once and for all. There is no other sacrifice that needs to be made. There is no more payment left. This was an overpayment.
Amen.
For your righteousness.
Amen.
So even though you messed up, guess what? Jesus' blood still paid for it. He knew you'd mess up, and that's why he gave an overpayment. And we can't outdo the righteousness in this blood.
Amen.
And so you know what? We receive this and declare that we've been made righteous by this blood. And we thank God we declare that we are righteous because we're remembering the blood of Jesus spilt on that cross, that grace is reigning in our lives, according to Romans 5:21. Grace is reigning and dominating in our lives because we are bold enough to declare we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of this.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well,
thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
And because of this righteousness, you guys, sickness and disease has no authority
over
you. Because the flip side of this coin is life.
Yeah.
One side of this is righteousness, and the other side of this is life. Those are two sides of the same coin. Yeah. So if you're righteous, you are healthy and whole, which you could say are the consequences of that's righteousness. Right. That's the fruit of righteousness.
We're the real Teflon Amen. Dons.
Amen.
Nothing can stick to us. Amen. Sickness and disease and sin can't stick to
because
us.
Because of our righteousness.
There is no court that you can drag us before Amen. And declare that we are sinful and that we are sick. We have been redeemed
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
Love you guys.
Go ahead and please.
Please go ahead. If you have prayer requests, please
yes.
go ahead and call Andrew yes. Womack Ministries at 719-635-1111. We love you guys, and we expect to hear the facts line up with the truth
Amen.
Of God's word in your life.
Amen.
And you are overcomers in Him. Make sure you keep Him on. He's good to wear when you sleep, too. I like my onesie Jesus pajamas. All right? Love you guys.
Bye.
We hope you got some great nuggets of wisdom out of that teaching. Thank you for listening to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. And don't forget, you can find us live on Facebook and YouTube 7 days a week. If you would like to donate, please go to www.healingjourneystoday.com. Isaiah 53:5 says, "And by His stripes, we are healed." God bless you.